It's always a pleasure to talk to this guy, and we welcome in John Harper of SNY as we get ready for yet another baseball season, maybe a full season. Let's hope that way anyway. At least we're planning on it. What's up, Harp? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, thank you for doing this, Harp.
That didn't take long, Swain. I just promised on Twitter you would drop a reference to one of those movies.
Yeah, I just saw it. Thank you for doing this, Ellen, is one of the little subtle lines from Dave.
Thing you do, yes. Yeah,
Dave, and that thing you do.
Those two movies will entertain me and Harp, and The Fugitive will entertain me and Harp for hours on end, much to the chagrin of Doug Williams, who I don't think has seen any of them.
Yes, we're torturing Doug Williams until he watches them. He's refusing so far. But meanwhile, what is going on here? It's March, and I'm not in Florida. I'm not digging this at all this year. But it's the
all
way of
us.
The world, unfortunately. Yeah,
all
I know.
Of us, yeah. We're all up here. Yeah, I know. It is strange. I know. Normally, when you get frustrated in Florida, you can walk out and you can feel the sunshine, 80 degrees hitting you. You walk out here and you got a snow shovel in your hand. You know, that's not fun.
Winter,
that's not fair.
It is supposed to get warmer this week, hopefully. Yeah. And, Sweeney, Eddie C., I also promised that I'd get you to see if you were on board with me for Gonzaga winning it all. Are you there with Gonzaga?
I probably am, Harp. But, you know, they're pretty tough. I mean, that's a pretty deep team. But, I don't know. I'm watching some of the tournament games and that now. I still think it's anybody's ball game. God knows. We'll have two teams in there that nobody expected. So, but
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there's a separation. Well, I don't think it's going to be Duke, that's for sure. But
Baylor
Gonzaga's
might be there, yeah.
Gonzaga's one of the best offensive teams I've seen in a long time.
I would agree,
they can stack up in the NCAAs. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they don't defend the three real well. So if they get a three-point shooting team that I agree with you. They can outscore a lot of people. And I guess most people would say Gonzaga-Baylor would be your final, I guess.
Yeah, Michigan looks good, though. Michigan looks good lately.
Juwan Howard making the run here. Are they selling – have they sold tickets for the Final Four? Is that – how's that working?
They're going to have limited. They're going to have limited amount.
Yeah, limited tickets.
Many.
Okay.
I know parents can go. Parents of the kids can go and as spectators.
They're not holding in one of the. Is it going to be one of the giant domes? Or are they holding?
No, it's like
place.
Six bubble sites in Indiana, right? All around Indianapolis. I think. Is that what it is?
But I think the finals, aren't they in the. Aren't they in the Lucas Oil? Aren't they in the big place?
Yeah,
I'm
think
not sure, actually.
Okay,
yeah.
So you get a little bit more capacity there, yeah.
All I do know is Vac, our buddy Vac, is very happy because the Bonnies are, I think they're in the A-10 final, aren't they? Are they in the
I think
A-10
so,
final?
Yeah.
I think they made it to the A-10 final, so he'll be nervous until that happens.
Vac's pumped up for sure. Harp, it's so hard, you're right, to cover spring training when you're not there. You're doing it from afar. We watch what we can. We talk to who we can. Let's start with the Mets here. What are your impressions here? What you've seen so far from the Mets in spring training?
Well, you got to like that team. I mean, I still think I would have, if I was him, I would have signed Springer. I thought Springer was the guy that could have put them over the top, fill in that center field hole, and give him a right-handed bat to complement that lefty-leaning lineup. And also a guy who's proven a big game hitter, big against elite pitching in October. I thought maybe they needed that one more guy, but they should have plenty. They just have to play up to their capabilities. The last couple of years, they've really underachieved in terms of their talent. Yes. But the starting pitching wasn't there last year, and this year, that's a very solid rotation, and it could be great if Stroman, pitches to his highest level, and Carrasco, and then if you get Syndergaard back at some point and he pitches well. They get to October, they'll be able to beat anybody, but it's a long way to there, and we'll see.
Yeah, Syndergaard, that's really an X factor for him, too, and it's like getting a great trade piece at the trade, because I think that's about the time he's going to be back. They hope June, but it's probably going to be July, I would think. It's kind of interesting to me, Harp, that and it doesn't matter when you go through the rotation, but DeGrom pitched yesterday, Stroman is pitching today, and I wonder with Carrasco reporting 3 or 4 days late, he's a little bit behind, whether Stroman will be the number two guy right behind DeGrom to start the season, at least anyway.
Could be. I mean, I think he and Carrasco are pretty much interchangeable as a 2-3. Stroman, yeah. I mean, Stroman, you know, he didn't pitch last year, and he wasn't great when he came over with the Mets. But you know, he's talking like he expects to win a Cy Young, so which is not unusual for him. So he's got to pitch up to that level. You know, he says he can prove it in New York. He wants to be that guy. So if he is that guy, yeah, I mean that's a great one too. And I think I think starting pitching solid. I still need to see Edwin Diaz be the guy who can close out games in the ninth inning. I know he kind of turned it around last year, but he did have some hiccups along the way. And by the end, the games weren't all that meaningful when he was striking out the world again. So he's got to do it when it counts. And that's a big factor. We'll see what Lugo comes back. But I still have some questions about their pen. And then offensively, they should be really good. They put up really good numbers last year, but they were kind of empty in some ways because they didn't hit in the clutch. They were really bad with runners in scoring position. You would think, I just wrote about that, you would think that's kind of fluky over a 60-game season, and it probably maybe would have turned around at some point. But they need to prove they can be better in situational hitting than they were last year.
I'm curious about Stroman too, man. I mean, you know, we've talked about him a lot, and he kind of reminds me of Bauer a little bit. You know, I mean, he talks a big game, has a lot of confidence. Bauer finally put it together last year. You know, if Stroman can even just be a little bit in that direction, it's really big key for this team.
It's a big year for him too. Obviously, you know, he took the qualifying offer. He wants to reestablish himself as well too, and he's got a split change this year too that he's working on, which you know was a pretty good pitch his last time out. We'll see. He's going to throw again today, and we'll see how much he uses it. But you know, like you said, Harp,
he hasn't been. I haven't seen that he's pitching with one eye closed. I don't know if you saw what Bauer was doing that shit. Bauer is out there, man. He can try anything.
Cyclops on the mound. Yeah, exactly.
It's like if I was the Dodgers, I'd go to him. Listen, we're paying you $43 million this year. Can you open both of your eyes, please?
Hey, he's got some unusual methods. That's for sure. And you know what? I still am not. I mean, I think he's for real. I think he's gotten to a different level than he was. I know everybody was worried about him because of some of his track record, some of his four ERAs in the past, but I think he has reached a new level. But I do wonder how it would have worked in New York because he's so sensitive to criticism and he responds to everything on Twitter. And I know he's been kind of, you know, he's been warned about some of the stuff on Twitter, but I still think sometimes he can't help himself. He got into that little spat with Syndergaard already. And the Mets might be better off if they didn't get him. We'll see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're better off. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess. So you know, if you want to put it that way. But I think that they moved in the right direction there. Give me your thoughts on the Yankee rotation, Harp. There are a lot of ifs. Obviously, it can be a very good rotation if guys obviously fill in the way you hope they do. But a lot of ifs to go through.
Yeah, that's a real risk and reward rotation there. I mean, Kluber, if he stays healthy, he should be really good. It just is so much unknown there. He hasn't pitched in 2 years, and the same goes with Tyon. So if those guys if they pitch to their levels, they could have one of the best rotations in baseball again, depending on what else you can get from guys like Garcia, some of the young guys, and Jordan Montgomery. I just don't know. I'm sure the Yankees are going to kind of find a way to maybe space out their innings just because they're not going to let him go anywhere close to 200 innings after neither one of those guys pitched 2 years. I just wonder, though, it kind of reminds me, you know, in a way, not that he was a pitcher, but Tulowitzki a couple years ago. Cashman was so high on Tulowitzki, kept saying that they were convinced he was over his injury problems, and he was hurt, you know, one or 2 weeks into the season. Yeah. I just wonder, Kluber's at that age now, and he's had a shoulder thing as well as some other problems, and I just wonder if he can do it over a full season. So it's hard to believe at this point in too much in them, but I think, you know, if it works out. But I kept saying the same thing about Paxton, too. If they could just get to October with a healthy Paxton, that'd be their great chance to win it all. And the same thing goes with these guys. If they get to this October with these guys healthy, they'll have as good a chance as anybody to finally win that championship they've been hunting for.
Yeah, that's a big key with, you know, I don't, this is going to sound harsh. I don't care if Kluber looks good in his first start in April or his first month. I mean, that's not why you brought him here. You're talking about the durability to get through the season, whether that's, you know, I don't know, maybe 25 starts instead of 32. We'll have to see. Tyone's the guy, though, that is kind of fun for me to watch, Harp, because you're dreaming on him. You don't really know. You know, he's kind of only scratched the surface because of all his injuries. And the first looks, you're seeing a guy who looks like he's having fun. He's looks like he's enjoying this environment, and he's throwing the ball well. To be able to dream on a guy like that, that's hard to do in New York because we have such high expectations. I'm kind of curious to see what this season looks like for him.
Yeah, he's only, what, 29 still, so, and he hasn't pitched many innings because he is Tommy John. So he seems to be more a guy you would think you could count on because he's recovered from the Tommy John. He hasn't had as many as the different injuries, and he doesn't have the age that Kluber has. And you're right. I mean, there's a lot of upside there. And the way it works with the Pirates, usually whoever they trade turns into a superstar. So that should be – he turns into Tyler Glass now. The Yankees will be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess with the exception of Chris Archer, maybe we can throw in there. That didn't quite work out.
He went back to the Pirates, right? And he they thought they were getting a star. Yeah, now that he's back with the Rays, he'll be in
the Cy Young consideration again. Now that he's back with the Rays. Rays are the team. Everybody says, all right, well, listen, they lost Snell. They didn't bring back Morton. That's kind of what scares me about Tampa Bay in this division. You know, they always seem to know what they're doing, and maybe that plan is designed now for 2 years down the road instead of this year. But I'm not ready to write off the Rays in a full season until I see it play out.
I'm with you, Sweeney. I think people are kind of dismissing them because of those two pitchers who are gone. But they got a ton of young arms, and they got some. They're going to have a loaded bullpen again, and they're going to figure out a way to probably use that pen more than ever this year. But I still think they're going to be right there. I don't think they can beat the Yankees over 162. But again, they're another team. You get to the playoffs, and that bullpen did finally wear down in October last year. But if you get to the playoffs with that team, I think they're going to be right in the mix again.
John Harper of SNY, our guest, Ed Coleman, Sweeney Murdy here on the Fan. You know, Harper, I read your piece on the offense in the National League East, and you're right. I mean, the Mets' offense, there shouldn't be a problem there. You talked about it. If they can stop leaving the small army on the bases, they'll be a lot better. Defense, though, is another question, and it's interesting. I know they got better behind the plate, and Lindor obviously is going to help in the infield. To me, still not a great defensive infield, and with Dom Smith and left, you have some questions there. Defense has always been the kind of Achilles heel of this team, especially when you get into the postseason, if they get there. I just wonder if you think they're better or can get better. Let's put it that way.
I mean, they should be better. The thing is, though, everybody is raving about Lindor, and rightly so. He's great, but to me, he would have been a huge upgrade over Rosario, but Jimenez was going to be the shortstop, and that kid can really play shortstop. So that's not as much of an issue. To me, it's still about some of those other spots you mentioned. You know, can J.D. Davis be better at third, and how much are we going to see if Guillaume there? That guy had a nice year for them. And then,
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Nimmo has talked about he thinks he's going to be better in center defensively, playing deeper. He played too shallow last year. They brought him in. The analytics told him to play a little deeper late in the year. But I just I don't know. I need to see it because I saw him take a lot of bad routes for balls. And then you got Dom Smith and left. I mean, obviously if they ever do, it doesn't look like now it's going to happen. But if they ever still came to a last minute agreement on the DH. It would be huge for the Mets because Dom could play some first base.
Yep.
And, I think if he's out there most every day, he'll be serviceable, but it's not going to be great. And they'll probably try and figure out a way to use Pilar, and we'll see about Almora as much as they can defensively. But I think it looks like Nimmo is going to be the everyday guy in center again. So there's some problems there. I do think, McCann is a huge upgrade, obviously, behind the plate compared to Ramos. I think he's the kind of guy that I think this staff has really needed. They've needed him for the last couple of years. I always go back to, even before Ramos, Darnell was still there, but remember Mesoraco showed up from Cincinnati
Right. Yeah.
And he was so into preparation and into being, you know, the game
staff
calling.
Loved him. Yeah.
DeGrom practically adopted him as his personal catcher right there. So right. McCann seems to have that kind of personality. Really works with the pitchers. Kind of a fiery type of game caller, and solid defensively. He's really improved. And the one area where he was weaker on was the framing. So I think that's huge for them. I think Ramos hurt them in so many ways the last couple of years defensively.
I'm really interested in watching Lindor's year, not just because, you know, you get a chance to watch him play up close, you know, all year long, and he's such a fantastic player, but I keep thinking back to two seasons in the past in Mets history, 1990 with Darryl Strawberry's walk year, and 1998 when Piazza gets traded here, and it's his walk year, and the entire season was about, are they going to sign him? Are they going to sign him? What's it going to cost? Are they going to sign him? You know, can the Mets and Francisco Lindor both be successful if this is part of the story all year long?
That's a great question, Sween. It is going to be hanging over them, and the thing with Conforto as well.
Yeah.
But, if I'm the Mets, though, I am kind of tempted to want to see Lindor do it in New York and everything else. You know, the Mets' history of bringing over second baseman
from Cleveland
is not great. Yeah, Roberto Alomar's open. Went over the cliff, and Baerga, too. I think he should be great, but it's funny, you know, talk about runners in scoring position and all that. He had a bad year, too, with that. I think he only hit 169 runners in scoring position. Again, probably fluky, but he didn't have a great offensive year. I'm kind of want, you know, and you do have, you're going to have some of those other top shortstops out there in the free agent market, so it's not as if you'd be left without one if something went wrong there. You could always sign somebody else, and Steve Cohen should have the money to do it. So, as long as if Steve Cohen's willing to pay the price come free agency, I'd be tempted to kind of play this out and see how he handles everything.
Yeah, my sense is that they probably will get him signed before opening day. That's just my sense. I think they want to work on that and get it done. But I don't disagree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong with seeing how it plays out. And listen, you can, you know, players say it all the time, you know, I'm not going to talk beyond opening day. Well, you don't have to talk, okay? Your agent right. can talk. They can talk in the, you know, in the back rooms or whatever and figure it out that way. And if it comes to a good
zooms.
Deal.
Yeah,
in the back zooms, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can, if it comes to a good deal, you can figure it out and present it to you and bingo. All right, you agree to it and that's it. I don't get that part of it, but I would let it play out a little bit. We'll see. I have a feeling they're going to sign him before opening day.
Yeah, that's such a standard thing that players say. I don't want to talk about during the season. But you're right. It can all be done quietly if nobody's talking about it. And if the Mets all of a sudden want to give him $300-some million in July, I think he'd be willing to sign.
Yeah. I'm not going to say no to that. So ask me again in October? No. Hey, Harp, I want to compare this. Your man crush, Davey Garcia versus Matty Banuelos. Which one was great? Which one do you think is greater?
Your man crush on Davey Garcia or mine?
you don't have one on Davey Garcia too?
I'll be honest.
I do. I watch this kid and I just love the way he pitches. I love watching his guts on the mound. I think back to a spring training at bat, an intra-squad spring training minor league at bat I saw 2 years ago, and just watching him just revel in it, and it was just really good theater for me as. All the players, all the minor league staff, and you know the front office guys were watching, and it was just fun. He was into the moment. I'm really into. He's fun for me to watch, and I kind of feel like he's in that mode for you too.
Yeah, I mean, but I haven't. It's part of the fun of what we do, especially this time of year, is getting down and you get close to these guys. You actually can be on the field watching them throw live BPs and things like that. That's where I. Fell in love with Banuelos when you're up that close, and this little guy, the ball is just exploding out of his hand. I'm like, who is this guy? You know?
Yeah.
And I said, there's no way he's going to miss. And he had the off speed stuff to go with it, but never came to fruition. I think it had as much to do with injuries as anything else. But
sure.
You see that up close, and you do kind of fall in love with guys. And I haven't really seen that. I haven't gotten to that point with Garcia. But I do like watching him just, you know, from afar. He looks like he does have some of those same qualities. Kind of a little guy who's going to challenge hitters. He's got all the pitches, really. So, and if he does if he does have a breakthrough year, then again, that takes them could take them to another level. But I'm still for my all-time one of my all-time crushes. I still got to go with Cam Whaler.
Yeah, that was listen, and I'm with you. You know, I mean, good kid, left-hander with a changeup that was just beautiful to watch, and he wasn't afraid to throw it, and it was fun watching what he could do if he'd stayed healthy and gotten on that right track.
Yeah, that's the best part of spring training to me. Seeing some of the young guys, maybe even on the backfield. You know, I remember seeing Wheeler for the first time and going, my God, you know, same thing, that effortless delivery and the ball just jumping out of his hand. And before, before these guys kind of make it, you get to see a peek of what they can be. And that in the 85-degree weather is what I'm missing right now.
And that's the thing. Like this at bat I'm talking about 2 years ago, I was on a backfield of the minor league complex, and Davey Garcia is pitching. I'm standing with about five members of the front office who are all kind of watching because he was 19 years old, and this is who they wanted to see. And he was battling this kid in an at-bat and threw about 10 pitches and then broke off a 3-2 changeup, and it was – I mean, everybody just kind of gasped a little bit, and that doesn't happen all the time, you know, and it's kind of fun to see that.
Yeah, although, you know, we can get fooled too, though. Everybody can get fooled. Yes. Remember Phil Hughes in spring training that 1 year when everybody, all the players, not the media, everybody thinks it was the media. It was
correct.
The players who were calling him the young rocket and the next rocket and all that stuff. And Phil had a nice career, but he never quite turned out to be the guy they thought he was going to be.
Well, there's always disclaimers to that. And mine was Jason Giambi is the one who said, hey, looks like a young rocket out there. Well, you know, Jason Giambi doesn't pick up a bat in the winter ever. Right?
Yeah.
So he has sat for 4 months, 5 months without picking up a bat once. He goes out there in his first live BP session, and this kid's out there trying to throw hard and impress people. So combine those two things. Yeah, he's going to look like young Rocket. Giambi hasn't seen a pitch in 5 months, but we ran with it. So it's on us too.
Hey, here's a guy, Harp, you'll remember from Metcalf. This goes back a few years, but everyone was wow at the time. And he finally actually started to come out. Rafael Montero. How about that? Remember him?
Yeah.
And Metcalf, everyone, you got to see this kid. You got to see this kid. Great changeup, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it just never came. But he pitched well in Texas, and now he's with, Seattle? I think he's with Seattle now.
I've lost track of him.
Yeah, but he's a guy that everyone had to see, you know, in camp. You had to watch Montana. It never really worked out with the Mets with
him. Yeah, he's another guy. He wasn't real big, but the ball did kind of explode out of his hand too. And I remember he and DeGrom were called up at the same time. And
exactly.
Everybody had at the time Montero was kind of the highly regarded prospect. Mm-hmm. Even though I remember Frank Viola telling me he loved DeGrom as a guy. He had him in the low minors, and even Wally Backman, same thing. So DeGrom was kind of a little bit of a sleeper, but people thought he was going to be good, just not what he turned out to be, you know.
Yeah.
Still, it's unbelievable. The guy is throwing 100 miles an hour at 30? He's going to be 33 in June, and his velocity keeps increasing somehow as he gets older. I'm not sure how he's doing that.
It's scary. I was saying to Swinney before that the scary part is that there's no strain whatsoever. It's effortless, and that's what's scary. You know, it just the ball comes out of his hand and boom, it's 100. So that's kind of
scary. So athletic. That's why I that was part of my whole reasoning for when I kept pushing, saying they should go get Springer trying. Try and do everything you can to win now while DeGrom is still – he's still in his prime, but he's on the outer edges of it, you would think. Now, he might be a guy that can kind of grow gracefully into old age as a pitcher because he's so athletic and he's got that delivery and everything. But you still – that was part of my whole reasoning is, you know, they don't have guys in their farm system who are going to be ready for another year or two, certainly not pitchers. So – I think if you're going to try and win, the time is now while DeGrom is still the best pitcher in baseball.
I agree. Yeah. It's you have to take care of those windows, which is what the Yankees are in it with Gerrit Cole. You've got him signed for 8 more years, but you know what that might look like in year 6, 7, or 8. You need to take advantage of that now. And these two teams are both in this window where if you have arguably two of the best pitchers in all of baseball, it should be a fun year to watch these guys kind of go for it, especially as you maybe get to the trade deadline and kind of see how things shape up and see if you're really ready to go for it this year.
Yeah, and that's it should be a fun year on both sides of town. And you're right. I just think those are the kind of guys that they can win you a championship when you get there. DeGrom was good in the postseason last year. I think he, overall last year, he had some bumps in the road. And I think some of that is always the first year in New York. That's why, you know, I still wonder if Lindor is going to go through a little bit of that. But, yeah, I mean, that's why, to me, when you have those guys at the peak of their career, that's when you got to try and do everything you can to win. And I understand from the Mets' point of view, they, you know, I mean, they don't want to lock themselves into too many long-term contracts. But at the same time, you can do it and have your guys in the farm system who are coming in a couple of years. You kind of be filling some of those holes, and you could keep the payroll down that way. But we'll see. Either way, it's going to be fun to watch this year, no doubt.
Yeah. No, it is. I think in particular, I mean, my feeling anyway, is those two guys, I think you have to lock up. You know, Lindor, listen, if it works out, I think you've got to lock him up. And Conforto, too. I just think Conforto is coming into his own, let's put it that way. I think it's he showed that if that was a full season last year, it was probably going to be a monster year. So we'll see if it continues this year.
Yeah, I love what he did last year. He stopped chasing the home run as much. And was willing to settle. Yep. You know, you saw him be able to two strikes, flick the ball the other way. And I think he's turned into really the leader there. I know Alonso gets a lot of the publicity because he's willing to talk all the time. But I think those guys, you know, Eddie, you're there. Yeah, those guys love Conforto. He's just a quiet guy. He knows how to do things right the right way. And it's going to be interesting because he's made a point. I remember writing about it, talking to him last spring training. Last time we could actually talk to guys one-on-one.
And, exactly.
Saying that, hey, he said, listen, because I was asking him about the extension. I said, you know, Boris is notorious for taking guys to free agency. He kept making the point. Hey, he says, I am going to make that decision. Scott's works for me. And we've heard a lot of guys say that. Mm-hmm. We'll see what it comes down to. But I did notice it was kind of funny. Did you see where, I guess he took DeGrom deep a couple times in live
video. He did.
That was kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're both cut from the same cloth. You know, they're both quiet guys. They don't say a lot. They just let their, you know, they let their numbers, you know, speak volumes. Let's put it that way. And
if you didn't see it, I'm sure that's going to end up in the Boris binder at the end of the year.
Exactly.
The famous Boris binder.
Those are good. Yeah, I think they're digital now. You know, we're 2021, but I think they still exist. Harp, thanks for giving us a couple of minutes here. It's always fun talking to you. We'll look for you on SNY. Catch some of your columns, SNY.TV, and BNNY every night, 6 o'clock. I will be on with you again soon, I hope.
Go Zags.
All right, thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, thanks. John Harper, always fun talking with him.